him.
Oh my God. And look at you.
Come on.
Oh my
Stop piping me
God.
up for no reason over here.
True. Oh my God. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to a new episode of Dish with Tish.
Yo.
I am so excited for this episode because we've got a big get, and I am so happy to call him a friend, a confidant, and a reality TV star.
A little bit, like only a little. Fair,
No, after this last episode, I'd say a lot of bit. A
fair.
lot of bit. Give it up for Mr. Philip Solomon. Whoa.
What is up? So happy to be here and happy to support you. Like, I just need you to know before we start anything, when you asked, do I want to come and like talk and chat and have this out with you? The answer was an immediate yes. I would move whatever it was because I think that so often you find these people that have this electric energy and this energy that you're drawn to, and you just have such big hair and big dreams. If you use that for the title of your novel, I get a cut, but such big hair and big dreams. I was like, you know what? I need to promote. We support women in the arts, and like that's why I'm here. Like, we support women in STEM, women in the arts, and I'm here every day for you.
You're gonna make me cry already. We're not even 2 minutes in, and Phil's got me crying. Oh my God. I was like, he gonna be booked and busy. He's probably doing all these interviews. So you were literally like, I'm there.
I have three of them today. I made sure there's nothing going on in this window. I got you, easy.
I love you so much. Oh my gosh. Seeing you on this show truly brings me so much joy because you are just unapologetically you, and like, A, you kill it at these challenges. Like, you're a freaking physical beast, and then your personality has been shining through more and more, especially like these last couple episodes. Like, also, spoilers ahead, if y'all not watching Deal or No Deal Island, you better get into it because it is spicy, okay? Like,
It took us a little bit to preheat the oven, but we are in full air fry mode right now. We are hot and going. I think that, okay, so I've been through this like for a lot of years. I've been auditioning for The Real World, The Circle, Amazing Race, or whatever else, and none of it ever worked out. And I am so grateful that it never worked out because I think that as millennials, as adults, we tell ourselves we're ready for so many things. And I'm like, I can handle that. I got that or whatever else. But I am so grateful that I was not on The Real World at 21. Do you know what kind of hot mess
oh.
express that would have been? Like, I know myself. And I'm so glad that it took this long for me to get to the point where I am the happiest and most satisfied with myself that I've ever been in my life. And I was like, and just when I stopped applying and chilled, they recruited me on Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, so you know what? Won't he do it? He said, you know what? You're ready. You have a story that's worth telling. And so they recruited me on Instagram. Also, wait, while we're here, let's throw this out into
Oh,
the universe.
throw it.
You cannot get recruited for a reality show on social media. I'm reading all over Reddit or Twitter or whatever else. They must have just found these people on Instagram, influencer types, and just threw them on the show. They can recruit you to interview. So what happens is they like reach out and they're like, your social media looks interesting. Would you be willing to speak to us? Just like any job, that's a screener. And all that does is it gets eyes specifically on you on the phone for 20 minutes. If you can't blow them away in that, it's done. Then you have to go through the full gamut of auditions. It's just a matter of like after that screener, I had to go back, fill out an application, and do all the stuff that all the other contestants had to do before me. So it's just a matter of how I got in. I didn't go from Instagram to the show, I promise.
Oh yeah, you earned that. You earned it. Okay. Rent was due and you said, "Let's get it." Okay? I've been working. And like you said, the universe is so crazy how like imagine if you were on The Real World or The Challenge when you were like not fulfilled with yourself and you probably would have been a menace.
I would have spent a lot of time either being unhinged or being restrained and holding myself back because I didn't want to say certain things or expose certain things or whatever else. But you get to like that 30, 33, 35 years old. And you're like, well, this is gonna be me either way. So at this point, we might as well just like give it what we got. And I think that the most empowering thing that I did was to leave the classroom. It was the most empowering job I've ever had. I taught middle school English for 12 years, and I taught at an affluent white district where out of 500 teachers, I was the only content area Black teacher kindergarten through 12. And that was so scary, scary. And so for me, I tell everyone I stayed in the classroom for two kids that looked like me, that would be able to look up at the front of the room and say, it's possible if I want to. The possibility is there, but more so for kids that didn't look like me to be able to say, I'm learning from somebody of color. I'm experiencing things through the eyes of someone of color, someone who's had a different life experience than I have. And it will never get old for me to know that some of my kids get to say that they had a favorite teacher that was a person of color, that was a Black person, and knowing that I'm the only one. So the odds are you're not going to get me on your schedule. But the ones that had me intellectually and psychologically got me. I supported them, they supported me, and I owe everything I have to every adolescent I've ever interacted with.
Girl, I couldn't even imagine having you as a teacher. You would be the coolest. I'd be posted up in your room. You'd be like, you got to go to class. And I'd be like, but I just want to hang out with you.
Yeah, but you know me, I'd be like, you know what? Okay, have a seat. I'm gonna write you a pat. Like, I don't know how to say no. I'm like, you know what? Have a seat, staple the worksheets, I'm gonna write you a pass. You're all good.
I can only imagine the joy and the inspiration that you brought to those kids. Like, they're probably so geeked out to see you on the show. Have any of them like reached out and been like, "Oh my
I've heard from so many of them on
God."
Instagram, so many of their parents on Facebook. They're watching it with their kids, and that's amazing and awesome because I am unhinged. And so there's that. But at the same time, it's one of those where I always told the kids in my classroom to do things that scare them and to do things that make them uncomfortable for purpose, with purpose, on purpose. And so when this opportunity came to me, I was like, what kind of teacher would I be if I said no?
So true. Were you initially like, what was your initial response when they reached out to you?
My initial response was I hadn't seen the show. I did interview number one without seeing the show at all. Then I sat there for a day and watched the entire all of season one. And I was like, oh, I can do this. Okay, sweet. And I think when they recruited me, they kind of did what a lot of people do. They see competitive bodybuilder and athlete. And as they started to speak to me and they found out that I was the only Black teacher in my school district. I had two master's degrees by 22. I had gone through this like physical transformation journey. I had so much more to offer. They were like, oh, wait, this is so much better than just lifting weights and putting them down again. And so I think it was one of those where I really captivated them from interview number one. And they, at this point, the reality TV market is so oversaturated. They're very specific in who they bring on to shows. So my auditions were seen by the executive producers. They have to send it over to the entire team up at NBC. Like it went up there, up there. Like it's not just like a we put you in charge to just like do your best. There was a lot of us. And so we got that July, August, and I've just been hanging out waiting for 6 months for it to finally air, but here we are.
Here we are. I know. I remember when you told me you got it. I was like, oh my God, I haven't watched it, but I'm gonna be locked in. And
Yes,
every
I
week I
am.
have been, oh my God, today it was so hard to not text you. I was like, I want to save it for the recording.
All
But
right,
oh,
let's do it.
especially this episode, this was, I mean, I feel like the last two have truly been your episodes. Like you are lighting them up, okay? And the closer for this episode really did something to my spirit. My ancestors were like, oh my God, they came down every like it really did everything for my spirit. And just seeing like your layers, because you're an onion. You really do have so many layers, and I know that about you. And seeing the vulnerable side, and you sharing your story and how you got here, and all the trials and tribulations you've been through that have got you to this point. Like, I'm just so happy for you, and happy, honestly, for everyone who watches the show to see you and like your energy, your presence, everything that you bring, like sharing your story of how you got to where you are and everything you've overcome. Like, I really was so emotional. Like, I didn't want to, I didn't tell you, but I maybe I did tell you. I was boohooing,
Yeah,
like
I
when you were
mean,
sharing with Parv and
so was
David.
I. There is no better inception than crying, watching yourself cry. You're like, cool, great. This is insanity. This is not real. You're like, that's me, but also like, this is me. I think that it was one of those where I knew that, let's just say I get this platform one time. I do one show, this is it. Let's say I never get invited or offered anything else after this. I wanted to make sure that every facet of who I was came to the forefront, because when I was growing up, I was a pop culture kid. I was in it, TV, radio, all that stuff. Do you want to know why? It's because I went to an all-white school and pop culture was my way in. The kids knew, like, I wanted to know what the kids were watching, what the kids were listening to, and all that stuff, so that I could be a member of their group, of their microcosm of society. So I started to study pop culture. And if I really think back and look at it, there was no one that I was studying that looked or acted like me. And so I was like, I know from an early age that there was a spot for me. Like, I tell everyone that when everyone's like, did you know from an early age that you were going to be a star? And I was like, number one, yes. Like, the thing is, when you see that there's a hole missing and you're like, that hole is shaped like me, I'm like, that's weird because I'm going to fill that hole. And so it just took some years and some experience to be like, I am finally ready to do that thing that I always thought I was going to be able to do.
Oh my God, I love it. And it's funny that you bring that up, pop culture, because that's our origin story.
It is. Not a lot of people know that, but yet here we are.
Here we are. For listeners, if you don't know, Philip and I met on a pop culture game show called We Are Family. I'm sure you did not see it, as a lot of people did not see it, but I'm honestly so grateful because it connected me to so many great people that I still talk to, you obviously in particular, but I feel like we really connected. Like, we were next to each other, but like, I feel like even if we weren't even next to each other, we still would have linked up because it was
Yeah,
just truly
totally.
birds of a feather.
We were like, energy, you here right now from day one. From day one, like literally, we flew in and met each other day one. And I think that I know that so much of this is like bringing on like the guest and talking about me or whatever else. But like, in case you have not heard it recently, like, you light up the room, you light up the world, you make the world a better place. You're such a good, kind, warm spirit that I think that a lot of people need to hear that more. And I've started to kind of spread that to other people as people are hitting me up on Instagram and being like, I feel seen and understood or whatever else. And I'm like, I need to make sure that I also let people in my life know that I also feel that way, about to be like, yo, listen, you're in a good spot. And I know that adults don't hear this a lot, but like, you're killing it, girl. You're killing it, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry again. Okay.
Not
If
again.
you're listening, okay, this is the second cry episode already. Oh my God, I love you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's like, especially coming from you. Like, I really do admire your hustle and the joy that you bring. And like, when you post your like inspirational things, I'd be like, yes, like I need it. The timing when you post stuff, it's always like, oh, I need it. I needed to hear that. Like, you also really do bring so much joy to so many people. And I'm just so happy that you're doing it on such a large scale now. Like, this is crazy. You're on Peacock.
That is scary. Literally, you watch any episode of like Traitors, I come right up. You scroll through Instagram, I'm like up in there. Like no matter what, I feel like I am inescapable right now. Like you can't get away from me right now, which is so weird that I'm finally fulfilling my dream of being insufferable on a national level. Like now, America's like, yo, I hate that guy. I'm like, I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yes. Oh my God. Okay. Let's get into, I'm gonna ask you, this is
Let's do
so
it.
weird, like interviewing you like this,
Yeah, let's
but
do it.
I have so many questions, and I'm sure the listeners do too, about your experience there. What was your strategy, if you had one, going into Deal or No Deal Island?
So for me, my strategy is contrary to what I look like, I am not super athletic. Didn't grow up playing a sport. Never did any of that stuff. And so I'm afraid of heights. I can't swim. Never played a sport in my whole life. And so I was like, okay, what do I have going for me? And I was like, okay, I am good at building relationships and I am good at making people feel like a better version of themselves. If you really look at reality game competitions, there are people where you're like, listen, whether they do well at this or not, I like having their energy around. I like having them around. And that for me was going to be my way into the game because I was like, they're probably not going to want to eliminate me if, let's say, I'm doing a team building activity at breakfast or whatever. And I did all of them. I was all up in there. And because the cast was using me as a confidant, a hype man, a motivator. That's why I'm still there, really. It was just a matter of like, I knew there was a big chance that I was not going to excel at physical challenges along the way. I have been by the skin of my teeth, but also I knew that there was a big shot that I was not. And so I was like, okay, how can I still remain good with everyone and be there for a long time?
That's just so crazy to me that it was like something you didn't go in confident, because you would see you, like you said, like you're so physically fit, berries, like you think, oh, he's got this in the bag. And the fact that you were like, I can't swim. I'm afraid of heights. And by the way, you were killing it with the swimming, girl. You were, it
Okay.
looked, maybe they blame it on the edit or what, but
I'm gonna
you
blame
were
it on the
skipping
edit
Michael
because
Phelps.
they had to pull me off the dock because I was crying, bawling. They did a full
Oh.
interview with me doing that whole, you know, that like tears into snot, into mouth. Like it was like a whole situation. And they were like, oh God, oh no. And so pulled me off the dock. Somehow edited that out, thank you, Jesus, and then put me right back up. And then that's when Joe was like, hey, Philip, and I was like, hi. And then he was like, so what's your best case scenario? I was like, number one, go back to camp and have a snack, maybe. But I was like, but also, I guess to go number one, because if I see someone else do it, I'm gonna be scared of it. So I was like, I have to go number one and set the tone. Take note in every excursion so far, if I've had an opportunity to go first and lead it, I will because I'm scared of everything. But the only thing I'm not scared of is being a leader and taking a leadership role. And so I would faster take that role in knowing that I don't know how to do whatever skill it is, then just kind of go along for the ride and hope for the best.
Wow, I totally get that. I'm very much like that too. If I see everyone else go, I'm gonna get all in my head and think, oh my God, I'm gonna look so goofy when I fuck this up or something. So I'm like, let me just go first, rip the band-aid off, and set the precedent, whether that be good or bad.
Of course, yeah.
Like, let's just get it done. Did you have a favorite player when you were there?
Ooh, my favorite players to play with and talk to and hang out with, probably Seychelle. She's
She's
from
so
the
fun.
Northeast. Yeah, she goes back and forth with me like really, really well. She is loud and obnoxious and unapologetic, and I'm the same way. But even though we're the same person, we just handle it two very different ways. But you get to kind of see in our confessionals, we're pretty parallel on most things.
Yes.
Favorite player to watch would probably be either Harvey or Dr. Will. I think that in it's just such a master class in reality TV, watching people make a spectacle of themselves. Like I thought in my job I knew how to command a room. No. They command a room with chaos. Like they just set the whole thing ablaze and walk away. And I was just in awe, even as like a reality TV viewer. I'm like, this is crazy right now. And I loved watching them play.
Oh, when you told me who you were playing with, the scream I scrub I truly was like, you're playing with legends. Like, this isn't just like a, oh yeah, they were on one season of The Bachelor, or like, they did a little America's Got Talent. No, you're playing with like truly some of the best players to do it. What was that experience like actually playing the game? And David too. I mean, David is a freaking Goliath, okay? Like, what was that experience like watching them work? 'Cause Parv, especially, she Black Widow.
Yeah, I think that in a situation like that, you have options, and you get to actually see the cast pick their options. Are we going to be scared of them and go away from them, or are we going to lean right in? And my plan was to lean right in because if there's going to be a game played, if big decisions are going to be made, those players are going to make it. And I need to be standing right next to them when they make it so that I know what's happening. I think the worst thing on a reality show is when someone's like, I didn't even know that that happened. And you're like, nope, that's bad. Like, you need to know what's happening, even if you're not involved in it. And so I take pleasure in knowing that, like, if something happened on that island, I knew about it every time.
Period. See, that's how I would play too. Like, I'm gonna be friendly. But I'm gonna have my ears open.
Always.
Okay. I'm gonna be locked in with what's going on. I'm not gonna be out here looking like Boo Boo the Fool. Like, not
Listen,
me.
I've watched enough Housewives to let you know that Tamra Judge and Margaret Josephs have a job for a reason. Like, the thing is, if people weren't talking, I was gonna ask them why. If people wanted to know, like, you have to know how to make the show move and understand that, like, yes, we're having an experience, but we're also filming a television show. And so within
Right.
that experience, you got to start conversations. You have to get things going. And you know me, I'm messy and I'm nosy. So as much as everyone was like, hey, how was your day? I was like, hey, do you want to share childhood trauma and also tell me why your uncle can't live within 10 miles of an elementary school? And I sat right there. Like, I wanted it. I wanted it all immediately. And I love that about me because I don't ask small talk, I only do big talk. And I love that because I think that's why you and I fell in love initially of being like, you know what? We're just going to skip all that. Like, hey, how are you? Where are you from? I'm like, no, stop. Who are you? What are you passionate about? What makes you feel like the best version of you? I'm going to always ask things like that, whether I'm on a show or not.
Period. I mean, that's literally why we bonded. I think that was like one of the first inside jokes we had, was everyone was very like, oh, I wonder who's gonna be on the show today. We're like, let's talk about trauma.
Let's
Let's dig
hop in
into
there. Let's do
it.
it.
Yes, I'm the same way. I'm like, I want to know who you are at your core. What happened to you when you were little? How did you get to this point? Did the chicken cross the road or not? Like, let's dive in,
Why
honey.
is your aunt no longer invited to holidays? I need answers.
Oh, I want to know.
I
I
want
want to
it.
know. I want to know. Why did she stop following you on Instagram?
And I will check every time.
Every time. Absolutely. Oh my God. And okay, this is a random question. This is not in my notes. Did y'all actually stay in them huts together? Like, did y'all all room
Oh
together?
yeah, we were outside in those
Oh.
tenty things, and yeah, nope, we were out there. My tent was Luke, Storm, myself, Letty, and Seychelles. So we went to that tent because it was the only one that had room for five people. And I know, even if I don't know anything about the game, the numbers need to be in your favor. And so the other tents only had four people. So if it ever came down to it, and I just needed to align with whoever I was with, we would always have the advantage of one more.
That's so smart. That's so smart. But I definitely would have been struggling in that tent.
We got to bring one suitcase and one carry-on. I was packing. I was packing. I was getting it all up in there. And we had to bring like 21 outfits. It was insane. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's all you could bring?
Yeah.
Girl, oh my God, I would have been struggling more so with the bugs. Like, I don't do that. One thing about me, if I see any kind of critter, crawler, I'm gonna be checked out.
It was weird. I expected the insects to be worse, but like, well, I don't know what's even weirder. You're like walking down the beach and there's like a crab, but not like a crab. I mean like a crab. And you're like, whoa, that is as big as I am. And then you're looking up in the trees and there's monkeys swinging over you and a sloth climbing. And you're like, this is not real. Like, it didn't look real. If you asked me right now, I would still be like, that was a dream. That happened.
That's, oh my God. Yeah, that I they would have to wheel me out of there because I'd be like, this I did not sign up for. I thought this was just for the show, like to show that we're sleeping in the tents and then we go back to a nice little cushy hotel.
No, ma'am. No,
Oh,
ma'am. We're
girl.
out
Oh.
there hearing the howler monkeys at night screaming over our heads. I was like, I don't want this. This is not it.
Not the howler monkeys.
Screaming, screaming. Look them up on YouTube, screaming.
I'll take your word for it.
The worst.
Oh, God. Okay. What other reality shows would you like to do? Because I'm manifesting this. I'm putting this out in the universe. Y'all listeners, hear me. Philip Traitors claiming it.
I am ready for Traitors
Oh.
or the challenge. I love Traitors more because, like, I can swim. But, like, at the same time, Traitors, I love only because for people like you and I love when people go into the Traitors and they're like, I don't even know who anyone is. I know who everyone was. Literally, I was like, oh, like, I could even name you Sam Asghari, all of them. I was like, yep, I have all of them clocked. And I think that that's the greatest advantage that you can have in a game like that, knowing who's there. Like, I saw them all get out of the cars. I could name them, name their show, name what they do, each and every one.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse, you're like, yes, Handable. Yes, okay, cool.
Right. Oh my God. I was so upset that he like actually led the charge with the Boston Rob thing, but we'll get into that.
Did he lead the charge?
Yeah,
Perfect.
like did he? Yeah, that's right. What other players, like game players, would you like to see on Deal or No Deal Island, following your footsteps?
I'd love to see more housewives. I think that
Mm.
even more so, like the more athletic housewives, I would love to see them because it's not even so much a game of physical strength, but it's really a game of good social game and good relationship making. And I think housewives are really good at that. I think like that's
Oh,
where they
yeah.
excel. And I think that's why, even in playing with Harvey, she's pretty athletic, sure, yes, but her social game is where she really wins it. So I would love to see more celebrities and Bravo celebrities and reality people that play a stronger social game. Because if we're learning anything, you can run and swim and jump and all that stuff. But if they want you into play to go home, you're going into play. So it really doesn't matter.
That's so true. Like I was watching an interview with Johnny Bananas and Wes, and they were saying like there's so many people who are great at the game and they may even win, but they don't make good TV and they're not asked back. And then there's someone who comes in, fuck shit up two, three episodes, and they come back every time and they're terrible at the game, but they make good TV. And it's like there's about like you can do both.
I prove it every week. I'm joking.
No,
I prove it every
T,
week.
you said
But
it. You said it. You said it.
like, you
Okay.
also need to know what I take pride in the most. And I think that you can even speak to this more than I can. I never wanted to go into this experience and think to myself when I'm watching it, who is that? And I didn't want to have a television version of myself versus a regular me version. And I take pride every week in being able to watch that and go, nope, that's me. I said that. And I would say it again. And so, like, the thing is, you know this more than I do in getting to like interact with me off the show than seeing me like on it. You're like, yeah, that's not
Yeah.
great. Thanks.
Absolutely. When you said, for listeners, if y'all have not watched this show, there's a moment in the episode where Phil does the most, it's like the best Capricorn just drag off the cuff. I can only imagine how shook everybody was when you said that.
You see the outrage.
He said, You think because you go low, I'm gonna go high? No, I'm gonna go low too. I'm gonna go underground, Harriet Tubman style. Okay. When you said that, I said, wow. Look at my friend. Look at my friend eat this bitch up, and rightfully so.
Here's the thing with me, and I think that that goes for any person of color. I've spoken about this a lot. The thing that I was really scared of on the show was that it's so hard to be a positive person of color on a reality show because anything you say will be seen as like more aggressive than it should be, or you don't want to be that angry black guy yelling at a woman. And so you get to actually see the physical manifestation of me holding myself back and the look in my eyes, you know that look well, of being like, I'm not gonna do it. Don't do it at work. Don't do it. And then after a while, you're like, poke the bear, poke the bear. If you want a show, get your popcorn out, baby girl, because I will give you a show every time. But the thing is, I don't wanna go there. But if you make me go there, I will.
And that's exactly it. Don't make me go there, because when I go, I'm not gonna be able to come back. There's no retrieval after that.
Done now. Yeah.
It's done. It's a wrap. And I mean, she truly had it coming. Like, that was crazy. Like, what did that feel? Because your face, I could tell you were feeling some kind of way. For listeners, if you haven't seen it, there is a pretty crazy switch up in the game where someone basically jumps ship and blows up not only her game, but she tries to blow up Phil and his adversaries, and she ended up looking goofy, especially after Phil's read. What was that moment like when she blew up the spot?
Number one, I was really disappointed in myself. I think we have like the ability to say, as a person of color, I wish I didn't take it there. I was like, oh, maybe. And like, so like you get really disappointed in yourself because you spend a lot of time and a lot of effort restraining yourself. But I took some more time with it, like a few more minutes. And I was like, if given the opportunity, would you do it again? And I was like, yep. And so then I decided that it was one of the things that, like, if you know me at all, it's sincere and genuine. And I was like, what is America gonna see when they look at this? And I was like, here's what I need them to see. I need them to see that I was provoked and pushed for no reason. And at the end of the day, they should be like, well, as you should, okay. Like, he didn't wake up that day angry. He didn't wake up all like, I was like, no. If we're gonna push me, I'm gonna push back. Because I think also with that said, people are afraid. Like, I'm glad that I got on this show when I did, because if I would have done it at age 21, 23, 24, whatever else, I might not have had the ability to stand up for myself like I do right now. And so I'm glad that I have the experience behind me. I'm well educated, well spoken. The thing is, when I go for you, I'm never going to use an obscenity or a name call or whatever. I'm too smart for that. And so, like, you can go toe to toe with me if you want, but there's a good chance you're gonna lose.
And I'm gonna eat you up. I'm gonna eat you
Every
up
time.
every time. One thing about me, I'm never trying to piss off a Capricorn, because a Capricorn will read you down. Okay. Oh my God. Some of my best friends in the world are Capricorns, and y'all are, woo. I'll be like, nobody can drag you like a Capricorn, truly.
My head spun all the way around that day. Oops.
Speaking of heads turning around, what was it like when Dr. Will picked the cases in order? Because that really cracked me up for some reason.
I
When he just did it in order, I was like, this man is truly crazy and
at the time I
diabolical.
was upset. I was mad at the time because it's so hard to hear people be like, I'm picking number four because my dead grandma was born in the month of April, and then see him be like, one, two, three. I'm like, girl, can you try? Can you just try and be one of us for like a second? But now that I've had some time to sit with it and watch it as a viewer, if you really think about it mathematically, the same way, like on the show that we were on, that they have like the rules and gaming consultant, because then it goes into like legality and what they can and cannot do or whatever else. They have to mix the cases up and they cannot tell not Joe, not Ben, not Kamari, nobody what's in there. So legally, there's only one man that knows the numbers in there. So mathematically speaking, for you to pick them in order is no better or worse than for me to go number three from a dead dog, number six for that, number seven. Like, it's mathematically has the same odds. But I think it was just so jarring initially because no one has ever played it like that.
Yeah, that was insane. Between that and Dixon eating, oh my God, I was not expecting that little shrimp to just tear it up.
This is such a weird group of people because I feel
I
like
really
episode, you learn so much more about people. You're like, yeah, this was not what I was expecting. And trust me, even being there as a participant, I'm just as gooped and gagged as you guys are at home. Like in watching it all happen, you can actually watch me. I am a human emoji. I thought I had a better poker face than I do, but like you can watch me be like, this is crazy.
No, I literally love when they put the camera on you because you are the perfect audience proxy. Like, you're just like, oh, no, what? Oh, okay. That's all right. Like, that's what how we're reacting at home.
I love that. I think that, like, again, just to bring it back to like housewives of it all, I think there has to be a housewife that is your narrator, that you are empathetic with, that you're like, okay, I see this game through their eyes. The Heather Gays, the Kyle Richards, and so on and so forth, where you're like, listen, I don't agree with you 100% of the time, and that's okay, but I need someone with me to take me through the game so that I understand what's happening.
Exactly. And you do such a good job of it. Like, oh my God, I'm living for it. I can't wait to see the outcome of next week. Oh my God.
It's a lot. It is a lot. If you thought this week was a lot, next week's gonna be more.
Oh girl. Oh, I don't know if I can handle it.
Literally, I don't know if I can either.
Oh my God. I'm gonna have to have me a cocktail or something. Oh my God.
Up is necessary.
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of necessary, I came up with some fun deal or no deal questions for you.
Let's go.
Okay, Phil, deal or no deal. Being a millionaire, but you can't travel anywhere.
I would say deal because I can fly people into me. And if I have a house or a property that is nice enough and large enough, I do love human interactions, but I don't actually love traveling as much as other people do.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. You become the next bachelor, but every contestant is slightly different versions of your ex. Deal or no deal?
No deal because I'm a firm believer that in that experience, now that I've had it myself, so many people are not an authentic version of themselves. So I would not want to fall in love in that experience and knowing that I would come in so genuine and vulnerable and then to leave the house. And some of them don't even speak afterwards. And I'm like, all that for nothing. And then to have to watch it all play out and pretend like you're together. I'm like, yeah, I can't do that.
No, definitely not. And some of my exes, like, we don't. Goodbye. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Fun fact, I am friends with every single ex I've ever had except one. And when I say that, I mean like I could text, call, Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving, all of it. Yep.
Wow.
Listen, I like to take that campfire rule, campsite rule, and I apply it to people. I'm a firm believer that you can always leave people better than you met them. So I'm always a big believer, and we are not compatible, but I do love what you're bringing, and I want to let you know that I thank you for our time together, and I think that there are ways of leaving it amicably.
Wow, you are much better person than I am in that regard because
Nope. Block, cut, unfollow, bye.
okay, dead and
Clip.
gone, honey. No,
Dorinda
thank you.
clip. Not
Clip,
that.
clip,
Not the
clip,
clip.
you fool. Bye. See you later. Okay. You become the most followed person on Instagram, but every post is a wild caption written by Kanye. Deal or no deal.
No deal. I think as of late, I can't co-sign anything Kanye says or does. Like, I can't even put myself in a headspace of it being like Kanye adjacent. I can't right now or like ever again. So for me, I think that there is a such thing as pulling too much clout for the wrong reasons. And I don't think he will ever have a recovery for what has gone on in the past 2 to 3 years.
T. Absolutely. Yeah, that would definitely be a no deal, 1,000%. Okay, last one. You win a Grammy, but your acceptance speech has to be written by a Real Housewife. This is a two-parter. Which, first off, deal or no deal? And if you do say deal, who is the housewife you want writing your acceptance speech?
Okay, I'm gonna say deal on that. And my housewife of choice is going to be. Ooh, okay. I have a hot take on this one, and you're not gonna be expecting it, but Dr. Wendy Osefo. I think that she would do good by me, and she would do good for the cause. And I think that without ever reading it beforehand, if they just like handed it over, I could trust that what I was reading was still going to maintain my brand and my intellect.
That is, I didn't even think of that, but that's a perfect person. That's an educated person. She's been in the White House. She's got her own TV show. Like, that's, oh, damn. I was not expecting that, but that's good. That was
I
good.
want it to be like messy though.
Yes.
Kim Richards, after four cocktails, four.
Not Kim. Oh
I'd
my
be like,
God.
so this is just a stick figure drawing of a man in a house. So I guess that's what we're doing, right?
She drew this on her walls when she was going through something. So
She's
thank you.
right. She went for it. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, now we're gonna get into the dish. Are you
Let's
ready?
go.
I am so excited. It's been kind of slow, but it's also been bumping at the same time, if that
I'm like,
makes
where do you want to
sense.
go? Halftime Grammys. We got them all. Like, where do you want to
I
go?
know. Well, let's start with halftime with
Deal.
Mr. Lamar eating the house down. Okay. Like the fact that he had both of Drake's exes in SZA and Serena, he had Serena crip walking? Oh my
Okay,
God.
I have a hot take on the halftime show. There is a happy ending, though, I swear.
Get
When I
into it.
saw it initially, I was not impressed. I didn't love it. I was like, meh. But one thing about a good pop culture millennial is instead of me expressing how much I hated the show, I just waited until the next day, did the research, read the think pieces, the articles, the tweets, and said, oh, I respect what he did. And that's how we need to treat things, where I think the generation that's older than us is like, I automatically hate it. And the generation younger than us is like, I don't get it. But for me, we're like, listen, I don't think I get it, but I'm gonna do the research. And then I'm gonna circle back around. And there have been many things, many pieces of art that I've done the research on and been like, nope, still hate it. And that's fair. But for this one specifically, I went in and I did the work. And then I was like, okay, cool. That makes sense. Amazing.
Yes, for sure, for sure. I kind of feel the same way. Like I was like, okay. But then, well, and I also watched it because I didn't watch the game. My friend and I went to the movies because we were like, we would rather do that. We'd rather go to the movies than watch the Super
Fair.
Bowl because we don't care. So we watched it on our phones, and I was a little like, okay. But then when I like watched it on a full screen, saw some pieces about it, and I was like, oh, this, okay. Even the whole stadium singing A Minor, worth it.
Well worth it. The thing about us is that we gonna read an article. Number one, we're gonna read it to get some more information and make a well-rounded viewpoint. But number two, you wanna know why every millennial is gonna read an article? Because we love to say in conversation, I read an article. And like, that's why we're gonna do it. Like, because the amount of, if I read one article, everyone I hit that day is gonna know I read an article. I don't even know where to read articles at this point. I don't know where to read them. I'm like, I read an article, and they're like, an Instagram video, and I'm like, yes. But like, also, I read an article. We love to tell people we read articles, so that's fair,
That is so fun. That's literally so true. That is
right?
very millennial. Well, I read that. I read in this article. I saw this article, and it's like
I'm
the
like,
article is TikTok.
where? And they're like, TikTok. I'm like, yep, there we go. Thank you. You did
There we
not
go.
get the article.
It's not an article. That's so funny. Yeah, I really thought that Kendrick did it his big one. I love the lowercase A chain, like a literal A minor, the undeniable naughty smile while he said, "Hey Drake.
Hey, boo.
Hey boo. I got your ex boos right here with me." And it's funny 'cause God, I'm literally about to say it. I did read an article.
Okay, article.
Okay,
Okay,
article.
article.
Okay, doing her reading.
Okay, reading is fundamental. Let's go.
And I guess his people didn't want him to do that song. And he said, "I literally just won five Grammys for this bitch. I'm going off."
Of course.
Like, why would he not?
Right. Why would you not?
And I'm glad he did. I thought it was really, really fun. I thought the Uncle Sam with Samuel L. Jackson was so fun. And when he said, "You picked the right time, but the wrong guy," period. Period. And it's so funny too. Like, a lot of the right wing people are like, "It was so great. He did an American flag. Oh my God, we are so back." Like, so many right wing people were like, "We are so back." Ooh, not Kanye, Ucha. Kendrick, like, he did that. Like, we're so back. And it, like, y'all really don't, y'all not,
You
no.
want to know what they did not do? Read an article.
T. T.
I didn't read the article.
No, it's not for y'all. That was not meant for y'all at all. But I had a good time. It was cute. It was cute or whatever.
Fine.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Okay. Are you a Southern Charm girly?
I am, but I have another hot take for you. I am one of the nine people watching Southern Hospitality. I live for Southern Hospitality. So just because Bravo refuses to take it on as its child, that does not mean that no one's watching it. I'm there every week for it. And actually, I prefer Hospitality to Charm.
That literally just gave me so much life. I don't really even know where to begin. So I'm new to the Southern hospitality.
Okay, fair.
My leave it to a Capricorn. One of my best Judies, shout out to Brittany. She has been writing for Southern hospitality since the first season. And she's been like, "You gotta see it. You gotta watch. You gotta watch it. I'm telling you." And I was kind of feeling some kind of way because I'm like, y'all just trying to be like Vanderpump. Like, I don't want another knockoff, you know? And then I tuned in and I have never been more grateful for the decision to tune in because it's everything that I wanted Vanderpump to be in the sense of like, it's queer, it's diverse. The tea is so good. They're all so connected. I am obsessed with Southern
And it's the
hospitality.
first like dramatic Bravo show to have a blind cast member because Emmy refuses to see anything that Will is doing still. And so at this point, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, poor Emmy. You know, like, and it actually is like the first Bravo show to have like a gay storyline too, which is so crazy because it's like, hello, that's literally your audience. Why is this the first one to have a major plot point be that? Like,
And I
so
think
crazy.
that's why the audiences right now are going more towards Southern Hospitality because they're like, that reflects my group of friends. That reflects what I would like to see more of. I
Yeah.
think Southern Charm worked for a while, but the idea that they are Caucasian, well-off people in Charleston, your seersucker and your Vineyard Vines can only get you so far before people are like, we need substance. And it's almost kind of hit a stagnant point because very few of the cast members are growing. They're not evolving. They're still existing, but they're not really like evolving per se. So for me, I'm just always like, oh, we're not going anywhere. This is not good.
Right. Like, how many times can we see Shep in a failed relationship?
Agree.
I mean, this time it is interesting because A, it is a woman of color. So, like, that's different for him. And also, he's getting played.
Yes.
He's looking goofy. And I do appreciate him getting a taste of his own medicine.
We deserve that after this many years.
Right. Like, we really do. We really do. But Southern Charm, Madison, I don't know if you saw, is pregnant.
I did.
I love her. I feel like she is a good audience proxy as well, where it's like she's going to tell you what's going on in a real way. And she kind of gets messy. And then she'll be like, okay, I'm off to be with my husband and my son. Bye.
Yeah, she
Keep
has
my
a
name out your mouth.
good, yeah, she has a really good ability to get like in the mess and then dust herself off and walk away. And you're like, oh, okay. Like she's very much aware that she is also leading a life outside of this. And she's like, no, this isn't it. This is just my like employment, my job. And now I'm done now. Bye. Have a good day.
Hey, see you later. So I'm happy for her and Brett because I think that they're so cute together. I'm like, I'm just glad that she found someone outside of Austin because that's another one. Like, are you growing at all? I don't think so. We'll see how long this relationship lasts with your little youngin'.
Listen, if I could just get that on repeat all day, that Madison, you're acting crazy. Like I could do it all day. I live for it.
That's
He's
a
wearing
rent-free
underwear for
moment.
no reason. You're like, yes.
That's a rent-free moment, 1,000%. I mean, the main thing that's going on with Southern Charm right now is the Craig and Paige of it all. I mean, it is so messy. And they both were at the Super Bowl. I feel, here's my take. I'll say my piece. I feel like Craig bends the truth when his feelings are hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a lawyer. Well, is he actually a lawyer? No, he didn't go to law school.
No slash yes, but yeah,
50-50. He's like half a lawyer, maybe a paralegal
At his best.
or something. And like, I listened to the Giggly Squad episode
Yes.
and
Yep. Got it.
It was just completely different from what he said on Watch What Happens Live. Like, I feel like his narrative, he's trying to garner sympathy and get, you know, because there, of course, there are going to be girls sliding at his DMs, being like, oh my God, Craig, I'm so sorry. I'm here for you. Like, Paige is such a bitch. Like, da da da. But I feel like she chose herself. You could tell, like, even in one of the last episodes, like, they're at this bee farm and he's trying to get the bees.
The bee farm and her
Not
absurd
right.
suit. Yep.
Right. Just looking so, you could tell she is so checked out and does not want to be there. And yet he is like, I don't put pressure on you. I don't, you know, even though every conversation it feels like they have, it's like, oh, our family, oh, when you have the baby, oh, when we get engaged. And it's like, she said, if my love is not enough for you, then that's your problem because I'm literally giving you everything that I have. And I think that she was having a lot of anxiety and she was so anxious and she didn't like elaborate on the technicalities of the relationship, but it just seemed like she needed to listen to herself. And if y'all are together for this long and you're still trying to figure out who's gonna move, who's gonna live where, you know, she chose herself and she prioritized her happiness. And I do feel bad for Craig because you could tell he was sprung. She had him wrapped around her finger.
He loves her still with his whole heart, but it's
He
just
does.
hard to watch because even if you, I always treat it like this. If I were to read the transcript of a conversation, what would I think about it? If I were to not see it coming out of Paige's mouth and Craig's mouth of him being like, but chicken, I think we should all just stay here and maybe if we could start a bee farm and then we could have three kids. And she's like, I'm not leaving New York. I'm like, okay, but on paper, let's like look at those things. Objectively speaking, those are not working in the same direction. And I know that we want them to be together and because we see the nonverbal or whatever else, but I'm a very black and white person. Let's look at it objectively on paper. They're not going in the same direction, and they have not been going in the same direction. So this should surprise almost nobody that I feel like it happened and we were like, that's so sad, but like, we get it. We get it.
It's so funny where it's like, it doesn't surprise any of us, but it surprises Craig. Craig was like,
Chicken. And I'm like,
chicken.
okay, we're not doing this anymore.
Like, girl, you, I feel bad because, like you said, you could tell he loves her so much and still does,
Yeah.
but it just wasn't. It wasn't meant to be, and as much as we wanted it to work out, like you said, on paper, it just logistically was not going to work. And I feel for him, but I also feel like, all the cheating rumors that are coming out, and his appearance on Watch What Happened, definitely, and Austin and Miss Patricia also added fuel to the fire of her cheating rumors, and she's just like, have my back. Like, just have my back. And he's like, it's not my job to defend you anymore. Like, he said, I never started the cheating rumors. I didn't say it. And in a way, him saying that is kind of addressing it. But I do feel like it could stop right then and there if he just said, listen, she didn't cheat. I don't think she cheated. I never said that. Let's move to another narrative, please.
Has the misogyny of contemporary American society playing autopilot for himself instead of just actually saying what happened. He knows that in America's eyes, he's the guy, so it's not his fault. And so he's like, I didn't say she cheated, but I also didn't say she didn't cheat. And you're like, okay, great. So like, you're not helping. And Miss Patricia is one of my least favorite people on Bravo of all time because like, you can't tell me she's not like a little bit hateful. Like, I think that it's just she's one step away from being like, and where's that boy that used to mow the yard? And then Whitney's like, that was a slave, mama. Like, we don't have those anymore. Like, I feel like we're one step away. We're just like one. And she's like, can you go over there and get? I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And she's like, Whitney. And I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it. The only reason they're still there is because Whitney is an executive on the show, and I understand that, but let's not pretend like they are full-fledged cast members and Madison and her are having slumbies and it's not strange. Sorry, strange still.
1,000%. It's funny that you say that because sometimes I'll be waiting on Miss Pat to say something to Vanita that's just so out of pocket. I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop for her to get drunk and be like, oh, look at that nappy headed. I mean, fetch me my glass. Like, I'm waiting on
Whitney.
that.
She is not having a conversation with Vanita because I'm convinced that Vanita filmed this entire season in 48 hours and they just recorded her at her house with her dog and then they never showed her with anyone else. And then she was on set for one day and they were like, can you pretend to drown for like a second? And she was like, okay. And that was the end of it. And we just never saw, like, they're trying to phase her out. I think she's wonderful. I think she's amazing, but they're not doing anything with her. And so I think that they're trying to phase her out.
Well, and the JT, I'm like, what is
No, we're not
that?
addressing it. We're not addressing it at this time. We're not addressing it. I still have some hurt feelings and emotions and eyes over it. We're not doing it.
We're
Of
not
course,
discussing it. We're
she
not talking
sat
about
on
it.
the couch and ate a fish. She invited that man over and cooked him a fish and ate it on the couch. And I can't be okay with that. I can't eat seafood on a couch. I'm not okay with it.
And no one should be okay with that. And then to leave and be like, oh, yeah, by the way, I have a girlfriend. So thank you for that.
After the fish, the man ate the fish completely first and was like, heads up. That was number one, delicious. Number two, I have a girlfriend, bye. I was like, I mean, catch a fish. I support you. But at the same time, what? That could have been
Yeah.
discussed at a Starbucks. We could have saved some money. We didn't need all this.
Yeah, and now my house smell like fish.
Right on the couch. The couch smells like I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, I'm worried about Miss Vanita. Like, someone needs to check on her.
Yes, every day.
Truly. Oh my God. Well, Southern hospitality, speaking of checking up on somebody, like you said, the first show to feature a blind person, Miss Emmy. So, okay, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe the second season when the cheating allegation came up with her and Will, him going in the bathroom with the girl.
Yep.
I did think that he was for real. I don't know. I did believe him. Maybe I was talking to my one friend about this, and she was like, I think you're a little crazy. And she was like, just keep watching and you might have a different opinion. Now I do, because it seems like bathrooms are his MO. Like, if he take a girl to the bathroom, you know something went down.
Did it. He did it. It's too specific. And there are
It's
too
too
many
specific,
people in
yeah.
the room that was like, and then he did, and then he did, and all of their stories match up. And if I've learned anything from being on reality TV, people very rarely have time to get together and make up a story. Like they don't. And so if
Yeah.
you ask them and they give you the same general like rundown of events, more than likely it has taken place because the amount of time and effort that it would have taken to like go out to lunch and make up a story like that is absurd.
It truly, like, it doesn't make sense for someone to just frame him like, who are you? Literally, who are you?
But on the upside, we got rid of Oisin, and that's all that counts.
Oh my God, I know. I was not a fan of him at all. In the milk,
And the
the.
milk, I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm both Oisin and lactose intolerant. I don't want it.
And I do like the additions. Like, I really like Michaels. I think
I
that
love
he is so cute. And for being, talk about, okay, like we were saying, being 21 and being on TV might have been rough. He does a great job. Like, he is so mature, thoughtful, and really, I'm a big fan.
I think you can speak to this as well. I think that whether you're on TV or not, every person of color in contemporary American society, or any person that's had to grow up in as a member of numerous marginalized groups, grows up quicker than everyone else because you have to. You don't have that option. You have to be able to speak up for yourself, and you have to be so much more grounded and aware of the world in which you live and the society in which you live. And so for me, I am kind of impressed, but I'm also kind of like, that tracks.
Right. And Lake too. I think she's very cute. I don't want her to get involved with Bradley. I'm like, leave that grown man alone.
I think she's still trying to find her space. She is very, what is she, 22?
She just turned 22.
She's very 22. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, no.
Oh, so sweet. And Joe Bradley. And I'm glad that him and TJ made up, because that was, even though I can't really, I don't know, I go back and forth, because like, I understand where TJ is coming from,
Yes.
especially being a queer person. We've all been in love with a straight friend and just like been pining, unrequited love. But I mean, you hooked up with Luann, and I could not. You know me, I have no poker face. Like, if you gonna try to say something on TV, A, you gotta give me a heads up so I can try to practice this. And
Agreed.
B, like, I'm not about to sit here and lie for you.
I mean, I would love to say that I could, but we've already seen episode 6. We know I can't. So at this point, okay, that's fair.
It's fair. Oh God, it's so much tea. Moving on to Salt Lake, how did you feel about the conclusion?
Oh,
About.
notes here for it all. I think that Angie K is only interesting in this group. She's someone that I think if you take her out of it individually, it doesn't work anymore. But in this group, she's just unhinged enough to work. I don't need any additions. I don't need any subtractions. I don't need anything. Like, if you really think back to like where we ended, that ending with one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel, to high body count hair, to I need you to go back to episode one, to
The
my
scroll.
bath bombs, your bombs, my bombs. Like I need, like all that happened this year. That all happened in one season. And so for me, I'm like, no notes, except Heather and the soapbox speeches. I can't that, like, instead of her genuinely interacting, when she's like, Heather, how's yours, sister? And she's like, what is sisterhood? I'm like, oh, okay. I just asked, how was she? Like, is she good? Like, are we okay? And she's like, what is it really like to be okay? I'm like, Heather, we okay, we are there. It's like she already like plan these out. And I'm like, Heather, we don't need it. I'm good on just you having like a nice, kind, genuine interaction. And Mary Cosby is an MVP, and here's why. I don't think she has changed. I just think, especially once you're on TV, she is really good at being able to pull back certain things and move other things to the forefront. So I think it's not necessarily because everyone's like, who is she? I'm like, she's the same person she was. She just knows what to say versus what not to say. Like, you just learn to navigate and play the game. And I will tell you, at least for me, and I see it on her, it's harder initially to be more vulnerable and be willing to put your life story out there. But it's so much easier once you do, because you're not hiding anything and you're not maneuvering around certain things. And I think between her household, her marriage, her son, she was always kind of walking around things. And now that it's all out there, it's easier to just speak freely. You feel lighter, you feel happier, and it allows you to be more present and pleasant throughout the show.
I couldn't agree more. I think that she just felt lighter. And I think it's a mix of just having it all out there. And also, I do think having a friend like Angie helped her too, because she could find solace in a person and not feel so alienated in the group. Like having a friendship with Angie helped her a lot. And then just bearing it all. I
Yeah.
feel like she just was like, I'm gonna let go and let God. And, it's kind of all out there. Like, there's been so many rumors and allegations about her and her coming back and having a safe space in Angie and just kind of like dealing with everything with her son, which obviously was so beautiful and truly like a tip for parents. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, it was hard to watch in all the right ways. I think that
Yeah.
I think as a reality TV community, we need to be more willing to listen to hard conversations. And I think that
Yeah.
there's things that like make people uncomfortable, but that's how you learn about it. And so like for me, I can't tell anyone what trauma to share or not share, but it's still weird for me that Whitney Rose is healing from a trauma that she can't discuss for 3 years. And this, we're getting this on the other end that I was like, yeah, this is how you do it. And so for me, I think the more you share it and the more you talk about it, again, it's harder initially, but it's so much easier once it's out there.
Right. Not Whitney in her healing.
In my healing journey, and you're like,
In
you're
my healing.
Alibaba, Alibaba. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. No one in Salt Lake City knows how to pronounce a word. Speaking of, Secret Wives of Mormon Lives is coming back. Anyway, sorry.
Oh my God. Oh girl, you already know we
The
were.
amount of Salt Lake City that I have learned about against my will, that American culture has shoved down my throat for 2 years. Would I still go spend a weekend there? Hell yeah. Book
Hell
that
yeah.
flight. I like need to see it in person. But also, I didn't ask to learn any of this.
I didn't ask for any of it, but yet I'm so grateful that I know.
I'm there. If you
I'm
were like,
so
you want
there.
to go for the weekend, I was like, yep, we're going to get some sugary ass sodas and then go to Heather Gay's place. We're going to get a facial, a massage. We're going to go to those weird bathtubs where Jen Shah lost her mind. We're going to do all those things. Like, I'm going to go. But like,
Oh
all,
yeah.
if you would have asked me like 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have been like, absolutely not.
Like, what is Salt Lake? Why would I care about Salt Lake City? Why would I care about these Mormons?
Right.
And now I couldn't care anymore. I'm so invested.
I would love to go see Meredith's rental houses seasons 1 through 4. Like, that's the thing. I want to see them all on a tour.
Her rentals. You are so.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong, though?
You're not, it's not a lie. It's not a lie, honey. Okay. I will say the only person I'm not invested in, and maybe you like her because she is chaotic and messy, Brittany.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I've been around musical theater people my whole life, and I can't do it because the way that I explain Britney to other people is in every theater production, there is a girl in the ensemble that believes that she should have been the lead. And after a while, you're like, girl, we open tomorrow. We've been rehearsing for a month. You're not going to be the lead. Like, you're like, go back there and do your steps and go home. But like, I understand if it's like right after auditions, callbacks, but shh. She's gonna have you believe till that show closes that she could have sang that lead. She could have been Maria in Sound of Music. The Cat in the Hat in Seussical, she's giving you the range. And like, also, Brahma's not wrong. And here's why. I'm also going to tell you this as an actor. Doing a national tour is not being on Broadway. All of my actor friends that have done Broadway have done a national tour. It's like the way up there. And so, like, I have friends that have done Broadway and then gone back to national tours. They like that more, or they like the show, the opportunity, or whatever else. But all my friends that are in Hamilton on Broadway did the national tour of Hamilton first, then went to Broadway, where they have the security of showing up in the same place, getting to live somewhere. They get more money. There's more union stuff that goes along with it. So as much as she wanted to be angry about Brahma saying, well, technically you weren't on Broadway.
She technically wasn't. And I cannot with her. I feel like her and Jarrett deserve each other. I am so over them and that relationship. And when Bronwyn read that text, I was just like, well, this is just more par for the course. Like, this man is trash. I'm sorry. He is Mormon. I don't care if he's an Osmond,
I was going to say,
an Almond. I don't care.
every tree has like a branch that's like half hanging off that they don't claim. That's him hanging off the Osmond tree. Someone notify Donnie and Marie right now and be like, cut that branch off. He is toxic and falling off that tree.
Yeah, truly. And one thing I think is funny, like the editor's doing her low key so dirty with like the text bubble. Like, after this, they got back together. And
That is what I aspire to do for a living, to just be the one that's like, asterisk, no, she didn't, actually. She didn't.
right. Like, no, actually. And I think because in the moment with Bronwyn, when she's reading that text message, she's like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. I can't believe him. Like, it's so toxic. I think because their relationship is so tumultuous that Brittany has a range. Like, 1 minute she can go from, you guys, I have an announcement, we're back together, to being like, we're done. I hate him. And I think that's because their relationship is a yo-yo, and she's so quick to go back and forth because they're together, they're not together, they're together, they're not together. And I'm like, girl, you've done this before. Your children don't talk to you because you picked a man over them. So why are you like, break the cycle? It ends with us.
She
End it.
lives in chaos, which worked for that one sorority sister in college, but it no longer works anymore at this age. It's
No,
not
not at your big
the
age,
look,
sis.
right? It like doesn't look good in adulthood. We all have that like girl we used to hang out with in like probably our freshman or sophomore year. Her name was probably Mackenzie, and she was like a disaster. You're like, okay, Ken's like, I get it. I get it. And she was like, you know what? He hasn't called me in 9 days. I'm just gonna swing by and see if he's there. You're like, no, you're not. She's like, I'm just gonna look at his window. You're like, Mackenzie, sit down. No, I'm
Stop.
doing this. Right. But like the Mackenzies have to grow up into someone. And I'm gonna hope that as they grow up, they like evolve out of it, but she's not evolving out of it.
No, she's not. And it is really hard to watch her and her healing journey. And speaking of that, Whitney, I just want to burn this with Lisa fucking Barlow. That's not gonna last. They had the little truce, like, I won't. Like, if that's not talking about it, it's burning it. I'm like, Whitney is so quick to say, show me receipts, trying to prove a point, yet she never has anything for her wild accusations. And I think that she
Literally
knew damn
nothing.
well what she was doing with Lisa and how to poke her playing that game. Like, she knew that was going to activate Lisa. And I feel like Whitney tries to play like the victim and her healing, and she never has real receipts. And that just like drives me crazy, honestly. Like, her and Brittany honestly are like tied neck and neck for me for just like annoyance.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Okay, so a signature thing that we're gonna do
Cool.
is apps. What's your light watching is something cute that you enjoyed watching, your main course. What is keeping you fed, giving you life, and then your dessert?
Okay, my apps, my light watching, in which I'm like normally doing other things and like hanging out in the background. Sex Lives of College Girls, season three. This one was hard to get through. This one without Renee was hard to get through. It was not as easy, but I think still well done. It was very reminiscent of Pitch Perfect. It was a little more lighthearted and like musical. And I was like, okay, cool, great. So that one is probably an app. It has not been announced that it's been renewed yet. I don't know if they're going to be able to renew it without Renee Rapp there anymore. So that I'm a little upset about. Main course is probably either Southern Hospitality or the season of Traitors. It is very easy to get into this season of Traitors. I've loved Carolyn since Survivor. So I've gotten to see, like, I thought she was unhinged and crazy back then. But now that I know her, I know that that's just like her. For everyone else that's experiencing her for the first time, go back and watch Survivor. Do the research. It is chef's kiss for her. And my dessert. Okay, this is going to sound weird and a little self-involved and self-serving, but to watch Deal or No Deal Island as a viewer instead. What I love about the reality TV people is that I don't watch for what did this one say about me or what did that. I literally sit down and watch it as a show. Like I would watch anything else. And I'm like, oh, I wish we had more like character arc on them. Or, oh, I wish we did what. But like, I was there, but I've been doing a good job in like separating it and getting to objectively see it as a viewer and be like, oh, I didn't understand that as much on that day or so on and so forth. So I would say that that's probably the dessert.
Ooh, that's a good meal.
Right?
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna say for me, my appetizer would be Traitors
There.
because, like you said, Carolyn is killing it. And I was just so happy with the results of this last round table. I was like, thank God, because y'all cannot be this stupid. Like,
Agreed.
y'all cannot be playing this bad. Unless Brittany, I'm like, she can either know that Danielle and Rob are traitors and she's trying to be on their good side to not go home, or you're just that fucking oblivious.
Either way, yep.
Either way, it was very satisfying to see him finally go and not run this game.
There.
I would say my main course this week was Drag Race.
Ooh, okay,
I'm
there.
not sure if, are you watching this season?
I am, and I appreciate how the girls are not that great at what
Oh.
they're doing. Okay, here's the thing. It is feeling like it's a bigger split this year than normal with the queens that are either ready to win or ready to go home. I feel like there's normally more in the middle that kind of evolve and emerge and have more of an arc, but this is either you came ready to win or you literally came prepared to go home episode three or four. And I'm like, oh, there's like too much of a split for me. That's exactly how I felt about this season of Canada. My top three or four at the beginning was still my top three or four at the end, which is not good. Like, you never really want to be able to clock it from episode one.
That is so true. I thinking of it, especially in the Canada and the US, like there is usually like someone who kind of rises to the top and you're like, oh, okay, you're a dark horse. I respect that. But it is pretty cut and dry who's gonna make it and who's kind of just there to be there, aka Acacia forgot.
Wow, we're name dropping.
We are. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm rooting for my fellow Cleveland girl, Anya Nerve. I
Okay, fair.
am living for her, the drama with her and Lexi. I thought it was a bit at first, like from the preview when she's like, who ruined my outfit? I was like, haha, that's gonna be like a little bit. But no, this is like the most drama organically that we've had since like Candy Muse and Tanisha Iman.
Agreed.
Like it really kept me fed this week, was living for it. And I would say my dessert is probably, oh, the movie I saw on Super Bowl Sunday, Companion.
Okay.
So fun. Oh my God. I really enjoyed it. I got such a kick out of it. I thought it was a fun, campy horror movie. You know, the ending could have given me a little more.
Oh,
but
yes.
I was entertained. I love Jack Quaid. He's easily becoming one of my favorite Nepo babies. I think he is really like he's so charismatic and he's just like a little cutie. And yeah, I had a good time with that.
We love that. You said, you know what? I could have my nachos and my snacks at the movies and actually watch something that I understand. And we love that for you, for me, for the people.
Oh my God. If I'm gonna do hot takes with anyone, I want it to be Phil Solomon, period. Because
I
you go
live
say
for
it.
unpopular opinion, always.
You always go keep it a buck. When you said I wanted to be myself and not the TV version of myself, that I'm so proud of you for doing that and letting yourself shine through and peeling those layers back as the beautiful onion that you are. I'm so proud to be your friend and see you doing the damn thing. If y'all are not watching Deal or No Deal Island, it's on Peacock Wednesdays. You can watch it anytime.
Yes, please hit me up, socials, PSolomon12, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is. Happy to come back and talk whenever you want. If you're like, listen, I want
Yay.
to hear some real unhinged things, I got you, not a problem. Bravo universe, any universe, I'm here. If not, if I don't know it already, I'll read an article.
I love you so much. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to dish with me. And make sure y'all follow Phil and watch Deal or No Deal Island and like and subscribe to the pod, please. I love you guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.